got a card in the mail this week. Julie handed me before service. It's from Larry and Susan Weil, two of our missionaries. I think they were the last ones who were here to share with us. And that was the morning that we were able to help them financially with the. And she says, "Dear friends at Open Arms Christian Church, we are happy to report the container full of wheelchairs and other disability help is in South Africa. It has one more leg to go to get to Maputo, Mozambique. We are so thankful for your extremely generous gift to be able to get the container and send it on its way. Thank you for your prayers and support for our support account. You are a blessing and encouragement to us. We look forward to the day we can report the container has arrived. Merry Christmas from Larry and Susan." So thank you, church, from Larry and Susan. Continue to pray for our missionaries. They have a big job, and we thank the Lord that we're part of OMS and are able to help in that way. So that was a blessing to them. So we just came through our Christmas season, and we're ready to start another year. This will be our last Sunday together this year. As I was spending some time with the Lord trying to prepare for today, He wanted me to encourage you today. And I noticed that through all the songs we sang this morning, it was encouraging. The Father was loving us. It was just really neat to sit in His presence and feel His love. And the things that I'm going to share this morning, they're encouragement from the Father for all of us, for us to take into the new year. And I think before I go anymore, let's pray. If you would pray with me. Father, I thank you for our time together this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, Father, that you want what's best for us, and that you come after us when we walk away from you. You look for us as a shepherd looks for a lost sheep and bring us back into the fold. And so, Father, I thank you so much for this Christmas time, this time of celebrating your birth, the coming of the Messiah. So, Lord, as we share today, I ask, Father, that you'll just minister to each one of us. Let us feel your love, your blessings, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 2. As I said, it was really cool to be part of the walk through Bethlehem, and the first place that I went when I walked through was to see the three wise men there with King Herod, and it was just, like I said, it was more meaningful to be there and do it than it was to read about it. But that's why I wanted to begin in chapter 2 of Matthew. It talks about the visit of the Magi here, the wise men. And then, so we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 in Matthew 2. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and came to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, 'Where is the Christ who is to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea?'" Oh, wait a minute. "He asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, 'For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people. And that actually is found in Micah chapter 5. If you want to just roll back there to Micah, just a few pages back. Micah is just before Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. I'm not sure. Micah chapter 5, beginning at verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." As I was looking back over this year, a lot of our friends, loved ones, families have been lost this year to COVID. And I had to think of this verse right here, the last one I read there, "He will be their peace." In those kind of times, we need God's peace. Thank God for his peace. One of the blessings that we have in walking with him is it's the peace that passes all understanding. We don't understand why we're at peace. Because of troubled times are hard to, it's hard to be peaceful in troubled times. But he is our peace. Then over in Isaiah chapter 9, this is the one where it says that Isaiah is prophesying that there's going to be a child born. And verse 6 of chapter 9 in Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So there's that peace again. He's going to establish and uphold it forever. Going to last forever. We don't have to wonder if it's going to run out. But it's not. Thank you, Lord. And then in John chapter 1, I don't know if I told you that I've titled the lesson today, Savior, Lord, and Friend. I just took three of God's names. There's hundreds of them in the Word of God. And I couldn't go through all of them today. So I picked out three of them. And these first verses that we're talking about are talking about our Savior. And that's why we take communion together, because he is our Savior. He came to save us. That's one of the things he came to do. Let's sit the final verse on our Savior is in John chapter 1. We just read for communion. Verse 29 says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So can you imagine being John the Baptist and seeing Jesus coming toward you, knowing that he is the Messiah? He's the only one that knew it that day. He's the only one that knew it. There's Jesus walking toward him. He's a man now. He's grown up. And John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The next one that I chose is Jesus is our Lord. And what does it mean to be our Lord? So I kind of know what a Lord or a King is, but I actually went to the dictionary just to be sure. And it says Lord means having great power and authority, a ruler or a master. So he does have great authority. He has all authority on heaven and earth. And we're going to begin in 1 Timothy 6 today, looking at some verses that talk about Jesus as our Lord. Beginning at verse 13, chapter 6. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, King of kings, and Lord and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. So these verses talk about him being our King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no other king ever been like Jesus. No other has been Lord of Lords or King of Kings. Jesus is the first, he'll be the last King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Psalms 95 has some good verses also along this same line, beginning at verse 1 of Psalms 95. It says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Hallelujah. Come, let us bow down and worship. It's been really fun this year going through some more of the purpose-driven life, and just a few months ago we found out that worship is not just coming and singing praises to the Father, but every day all that we do is in worship to the Father. So our jobs, the work that we do, is worship. The time that we spend with our families, how we act with our families, is worship. Coming together in song and praise is worship. But I want you to get the idea that it's not just Sunday morning. But we worship the Father every day. Part of what we do, part of what He wants, part of our relationship with Him. So as you spend your day, as you get up in the morning and you say, "Good morning, Lord," and you can tell Him why you're coming to worship Him today. So it's not just singing. It's everything that we do. Everything that we do is a form of worship. And the last one that I picked today is Jesus is our friend. He wants us to know today, beyond anything else, that He loves us as a friend. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought of other people who are in authority, who are kings or leaders. You can't get close to them. They're so powerful. They've got so many things going on that we can't get close to. Like, say, our president, for instance. We can't have an audience with him. We can't get close to him at all. But Jesus wants to be close to us. He wants to be our friend. Let's just go over to John 15. I want to read you a couple verses there. John 15 talks about Jesus wanting to be our friend. And these few chapters here in John are probably some of the chapters that I love the most as I read. And 15, 16, and 17, this is all Jesus talking, and part of it's in Him praying for us and just loving us. And so I want to look at John 15, beginning at verse 5 today. Talking about the vine and the branches, and I'm not going to read the first part of it there, but verse 5 says, "I am the vine," and this is Jesus talking. It's in red here in my Bible, probably is in yours as well. It says, "You are the branches." So if we're the branches, then we're hooked into the vine. If we're not hooked into the vine, then it says the branches wither and die and are thrown into the fire. But it says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And that's why the song this morning spoke to me so much, because it was talking about Jesus' love for us, how he loves us and cares for us. And that's what these verses are talking about as well, is as we abide in him, as we stay connected to the Father, as we stay connected to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, he wants to spend time with us. He wants to share time with us. He wants us to come into his presence every day. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And how many of us would do that, would lay down our life for a friend? I think a lot of times we have friends who are closer to us than brothers even. And people that you love that much, you don't mind laying down your life for them. And that's where God wants us to be in the body of Christ, as we love one another, as we care for one another. And then he goes on to say, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Wow. And appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command: love each other. So as the Father loves us, we're to love one another. So be encouraged this morning as you end this year, as you start a new one. We're going into 2022 as we come together next time. It'll be a new year. We're finishing up a great year, as we talked in Sunday school this morning. The elders, the leaders here feel that our church is as healthy probably as it's ever been. And that's because of you guys, because of you that we're healthy. You guys have realized that it's up to each one of us, actually up to each one of you, to help protect the unity in the body of Christ. It's not something that Matt and Jesse and Doug and Matt and I can do. We can help with it, but it's your responsibility to keep the unity in the church. And so that's why we're healthy, because each one of you takes a part in it and does your part. We've also talked about this many, many times, how as the body of Christ, that each part does what it's supposed to, then the body works together the way it's supposed to. Just as our physical body, each part does what it's supposed to, then the whole body works. But if something's missing, it doesn't work very good. And so, thank you, church, for supporting us as leaders, and for doing your part, for taking the part that God has given you and doing that to make the church work the way it's supposed to. Because each one of you, no matter how insignificant you feel, are a very big part in the body of Christ. So whether you feel important or not, you are. Because it takes each one of us doing our part to be able to function the way the church is supposed to. So be encouraged today that God loves you. The church is healthy, and we thank God for that. But he commands us to love each other as he loved us. So as you go this week, love one another. Care for one another. We've got a few prayer needs. I'd like for you to remember Doug this week. He's going down to spend some time with his sister. He lost her husband last week. Pray for him. Matt and Chris couldn't be here this morning. His mom tested positive to COVID, so they decided they better not come and share that with us this morning. So pray for Matt and Chris and the children and the girls. For Bonnie, she's positive to COVID. We've lost a lot of friends to COVID this year already. It's hard, but we're overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. So if any of you have a prayer need this morning, we'd love to pray with you. And God bless you as you head on into the new year.